Just getting set up here on this webcam, which I'm not used to using. I'm looking forward to being able to share these words with you. Greetings from the Midwest of the United States. We have been in this beautiful cabin here that has been provided by a member of our family over these recent weeks, and we're very, very thankful. And as we've been able to walk the fields and spend extra time in prayer and working on various aspects of contact with supporters in the ministry in Africa, I've been reminded that there is no social distancing with God. Aren't you thankful for that? He is definitely, as the psalmist reminds us, a refuge in time of need, an ever-present help in trouble. Today, as we think about the situation that we're facing around the world, and I know you've been reflecting on it as much as I have been reminded of eight of probably the most important words in Scripture as they relate to moving through a time of crisis such as this. Do you know what they are? You'll recognize these words from one of the most well-known Psalms in the Word of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. What a comfort that is to you and to me during this time of worldwide pandemic. I'd like to pray for us and invite you to prayer as we spend a few moments meditating on these most significant words. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that we have the opportunity to open your word, to meditate upon this inspired revelation, these words of comfort and consolation. We pray that you would give us insight into not only their meaning, but into their application for our everyday lives. Remind us of well-known truths and give us insight into lesser-known truths. And may it be an encouragement to our faith and encourage us to grow deeper in love with you, our Savior. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Well, you know, you might ask, what does that really mean? I'm sure for many of you that are listening to this message, the Lord is already your Savior. For many, he is also the Lord of your life, and you're looking to him for direction in every aspect of your life, even in times of crisis such as this. The question I would like to ask this morning, is the Lord your shepherd? Do you know him not only as your Savior and Lord, but do you know him as your shepherd? Well, if the Lord is our shepherd, we have to recognize that we are sheep, and there are definitely several things that characterize the nature of sheep, are there not? For one, sheep are very needy. In fact, of all the class of livestock, the various class of livestock, sheep are certainly the neediest. And as we think of this malefic virus that has affected the entire globe, touching the lives of more than 2.5 million people, over 160,000 deaths, touching over 210 different countries around the world, it is definitely a reminder to you and me of just how needy we really are. And those who are needy, as sheep, need a shepherd because we are dependent. We are dependent, looking to someone else to give direction. Sheep look to their shepherd to protect. Sheep look to their shepherd to nourish. Sheep look to their shepherd to give comfort. But you know, probably one of the characteristics of sheep that is a reminder to you and me of how much we need a shepherd is that sheep are very, very stubborn. In fact, stupidity is one of the primary characteristics of sheep. And because of their stupidity, they are often looking for a counterfeit shepherd. Jesus reminds us of this in John chapter 10, where he compares himself as the good shepherd to the thief, the counterfeit shepherd, who comes only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 is also a good reminder of this. You know these well-known words, "We all like sheep have gone astray. We each have turned to his own way." And in our willfulness and in our stubbornness, you and I face the constant tendency to look in all the wrong places for satisfaction of our deepest heart desires. The prophet Jeremiah puts it this way, and I've always loved these verses. They've been a wonderful reminder to me. He says, "For my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all." I believe that during this time of worldwide pandemic, our prayer for ourselves as well as for those around us should be that, confronted with the fragility, the brevity of life, and the certainty of death, we would more than ever before recognize our need, reevaluate our lives. Augustine, that great church father, put it this way: God wants to give us something. And by the way, he does. God wants to bless us. God is a good God who sends good things. He wants to pour out his blessings in our lives. But Augustine continues, God wants to give us something but cannot. Why? Because our hands are full. There's nowhere for him to put it. And our hands are often full because we're busy digging cisterns that can hold no water at all. Well, desperate sheep are in need of a good shepherd, not a derelict shepherd, not a counterfeit shepherd, but rather a shepherd who cares. We are needy and we need a good shepherd. By the way, have you ever noticed in this psalm of only six verses the abrupt change that takes place right in the middle of this poetic passage? Verses 1 to 3 are all about the Lord. The psalmist is writing as one sheep speaking to another sheep. He says, "He makes me lie down. He leads me. He refreshes me. He guides me." But then, beginning in verse 4, there's a rather abrupt shift. And now the psalmist, speaking as one sheep, is actually speaking upward to the Lord. He says, "You are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. Your goodness and love accompany me." And so in verses 1 to 3, David depicts himself as one sheep speaking to another sheep, and he's boasting of his good shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd." Why? Because the Lord manages my life so very well. Well, the Lord is David's shepherd, and we should understand that the Lord is our shepherd because he is our creator shepherd. I would imagine that David penned these words when he was a young shepherd. And in the Palestine of David's day, there was most likely no smut or pollution to block the amazing view of the sky above, where David, as he gazed upward, saw infinite distant galaxies that, as Psalm 8 reminds us, were spun into space by the very finger of God. 250 billion times 250 billion stars, each of which are greater than the size of our sun. And as we think about it, it makes you and me feel very small, doesn't it? By the way, it's really only as you and I recognize how very small we are that we can recognize how very great our Creator Shepherd is. Our Shepherd is not only a Creator Shepherd, but you know, our Shepherd is also a Sustainer Shepherd. I believe that the Apostle Paul made reference to this in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 17. I've always loved this verse, in Him, that is, in Christ, all things hold together. Think of it. Think of it. Christ is actually, as Paul puts it, the glue that sustains all of creation. Every breath we take, every move we make, every thought we think, you and I cannot do that apart from Christ's sustaining life. When I lived there in Belgium, among you, our church family, and as I drove around the community or elsewhere in the country, I noticed what you have often seen, most certainly, these iron anchor plates that hold brick buildings together. They're decorative, made out of iron, and they provide structural reinforcement for the buildings. Of course, we know that a building made out of brick, as so many are in the country of Belgium, tend to expand over a long period of time. And those iron anchor plates hold them together, giving that reinforcement. To me, that is a picture of what Jesus Christ does as our sustainer shepherd. He holds our cosmos together, cosmos meaning that which is organized, and prevents it from becoming a chaos. Paul elsewhere says that Christ sustains all things by the word of His power. And if Christ can sustain the entire universe by the word of His power, certainly He can sustain you and me through whatever difficulty we might pass. But then we might ask, if our world, our universe is a cosmos, why such chaos? And I believe that Romans 8 can give us some insight there. I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, a passage that is so relevant to understanding the particular epidemic, pandemic, that we are going through, experiencing right now on a worldwide level. Let me just highlight several verses from Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 20. Notice with me what Paul says. He states, beginning in verse 20, against its will, against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. So notice, first of all creation has been groaning. And this pandemic, or the tornado that cut a swath of destruction only 100 yards from the residence of my daughter and son-in-law and their family several weeks ago, is an example of how all creation is groaning. And Paul says in these verses that not only does all creation groan, but you and I, we as believers also groan. That's what he says in verse 23. Fortunately, he moves on to say also in verse 26 that though all creation groans and though we as believers groan, the Holy Spirit also groans. God groans. He helps us in our weakness. For example, Paul says, we don't know what God wants us to pray for in the midst of such crisis and difficulty, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Have you ever wondered why, though God created this world and universe as a cosmos that is organized, why sometimes it looks like a chaos, that is, a war zone? Well, our world looks like a war zone because it is a war zone. John reminds us in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19 that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one. And in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, John reminds us that Christ came to not only provide salvation for you and me, salvation from sin, but also to destroy the works of the devil. Now, if that is the case, our shepherd is not only a creator shepherd, our good shepherd is not only a sustainer shepherd, but in order to do what these verses, Romans 8 and 1 John 5 and 1 John 3 are speaking of, he must also be a savior shepherd. And you and I are in need of that savior shepherd, are we not? Remember the verses, the verse that I referred to earlier? All we like sheep have gone astray. We each have turned to his own way. Well, Isaiah the prophet continues in that verse by saying this, and the Lord, the same Lord that the psalmist is speaking of in Psalm 23, the Lord has laid on him, that is the good shepherd, the iniquity, the sin of us all of us stubborn, stupid sheep. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this over these recent days with this worldwide pandemic and the suffering that it has brought. The answer to suffering around the world and in your life and mine is the same as the answer to sin. Of course, that's difficult for a postmodern world to understand. For in our postmodern world, there is no such thing as sin. In fact, in our postmodern world, the only sin that exists is the sin of suffering and death. But we must look behind suffering and death, as does Paul in Romans 8, as does John in his first epistle. For you see, the Bible makes much of sin and evil and helps us understand that sin and evil are the cause of suffering and death. Evil is essentially the opposite of good. Sin is concrete opposition to good. And suffering is the outcome of evil and sin. And what is the answer to evil and sin, and thus ultimately to suffering? Well, the answer to that is the self-sacrificing love of our shepherd Savior. I don't know if you've ever thought about the fact that Psalm 23, the object of our meditation this morning, follows on the heels of Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is an amazing messianic prophecy of our sacrificial love of our shepherd Savior. Take your Bibles and look for just a moment at Psalm 22. You'll recognize these verses, as so many of them were repeated almost verbatim by Jesus at Calvary. Verse 1, my God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Or look at verses 7 and 8. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads, saying, is this the one who relies on the Lord? Then let the Lord save him. Or look at verse 18. They divide my garments among themselves. They throw dice for my clothing. Without a doubt, Jesus, our suffering shepherd Savior, experienced excruciating suffering on the cross. By the way, that word, as I understand it, did not exist before Roman times. Why? Because the word came from the cross itself. It comes from a Latin word, excruciare, which itself comes from the verb cruciare, meaning to crucify. In other words, excruciating suffering is a suffering, is a pain, like the pain of the cross. And so Jesus himself picks up on this theme of the suffering shepherd when he says in John chapter 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Well, the end of the story is found in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 17. Listen to these words, for the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Yes, the self-sacrificing love of our Savior Shepherd is the one who ultimately now is not only the shepherd of our souls, but the very Lamb of God who gives his life for our souls. I was thinking about this verse often as some years ago, nearly 16 years ago now, I made a long journey from Portland, Oregon to Seoul, South Korea. It was immediately following the death of our firstborn son, Jonathan, who died not of a virus like coronavirus, but of something just as deadly and just as toxic. He died of accidental carbon monoxide poisoning. And our pain at the time, and it continues in many ways to be also just as difficult, it was excruciating. It's a pain that never leaves. In so many ways, there is always an empty place at the table of our souls. As I made that long journey from Portland, Oregon to Seoul, Korea, to recover his personal effects and to bring his body back to the United States, I was reading over Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? And as I continued to ask that question, this thought came to my mind. I too, God said to me, I too have lost a child, not voluntarily, but willingly, on the cross for your sake, to bring you into my family. And so as you think about suffering, your own personal suffering, as you think about the suffering that this entire planet Earth is experiencing, you ask the question, where is God in all of this? And the answer that the scriptures give us is resounding. Where is God? God is where he has always been. He is the suffering Savior on the cross who died for you, who suffered for you. But that's not the end of the story. He was also raised from the dead. He is the shepherd who became the lamb and whose father will one day wipe away every tear from our eyes. You see, in our suffering, God does not always explain our suffering, but he does share in our suffering. On that infamous Good Friday, Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Lamb of God, experienced the brute force of satanic evil. And when God seemed most absent, he was actually most present. When God seems most absent in your life, he is also the most present. For it is in my tears that I better see his tears for humanity. But again, this is not the end of the story. Hebrews 13:20 tells us, now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep. Yes, our creator shepherd, our sustainer shepherd, our savior shepherd is also the great shepherd who has been raised from the dead, and he is worthy of our absolute trust. Why should I trust him? Well, David in Psalm 23 goes on to give us several key motivations. They're all found in verse 1 in these 8 words. Do you see it? It's there. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. The psalmist doesn't say the Lord was my shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord will be my shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord would be my shepherd if I did such and such. No, simply and profoundly, David says, the Lord is my shepherd. In other words, you and I have an ever-present shepherd. Our shepherd is never absent. He is always present. Our shepherd is never AWOL. The one who watches over you, the same psalmist reminds us in Psalm 121, never slumbers, never sleeps. And I would remind you and myself that, yes, he is even with us in death. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, the psalmist says in verse 4 of this Psalm 23, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Did you know that there actually is a death valley in the Palestine of David's day? It's called in Hebrew Nahal Mishma. It was located in the Judean wilderness between En Gedi and Masada. And it was a dark valley. It was a very dark valley. In fact, about the only time that light appeared in this long extended valley was at high noon when the sun could shine through. This statement is a reminder that if God is with you and me in the darkest valley of death, he is with you and me in every valley. Joshua speaks of a valley of calamity. Psalm 84 speaks of a valley of weeping. Hosea speaks of a valley of trouble. Today, we're confronted with a valley of coronavirus. God is with us. Jesus, our creator, sustainer, savior, shepherd, is with us even in this valley. But our savior shepherd is not only an ever-present shepherd, he is also a very, very personal shepherd. And I am so thankful for this. Notice again what David says. The Lord is what? The Lord is my shepherd. The psalmist doesn't say the Lord is his shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is your shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is their shepherd, nor does he say the Lord is our shepherd. He says, no, the Lord is my shepherd. David is not speaking of others, but he's speaking of himself. I had an experience in the Ivory Coast that I'll recount very briefly. I was riding along in a car right before I came back to France in the month of February, and it was a day where there was so much traffic, and we were bumper to bumper. We had come to a complete standstill in this city of over 7 million people. And suddenly, as is often the case, a young girl began to cross the street right in front of us. People are crossing everywhere, as well as animals. And you always wonder if they're going to actually make it across that road so full of traffic. But since we had come to a standstill, she took her opportunity. And as she was walking right in front of our car, I noticed out of the left-hand corner of my eye, that a motorcycle began passing our vehicle, and he was going very fast. I would say probably 40 to 50 kilometers an hour, trying to get around, weaving through this stalled traffic. And I saw an accident coming, waiting to happen. She didn't see him. He didn't see her. And as she stepped out from the left front corner of our vehicle, he suddenly passed and he came within a hair's breadth of killing that young girl. He continued his way and stood up on his motorcycle and began to yell profanities. He was so angry at this girl, but I noticed a sense of calm, a sense of peace that pervaded her being as she continued to cross this road of traffic. We wondered who she was, and we were so thankful that she wasn't hit. But soon after conversing about what had taken place, we forgot the event. Fast forward to the next morning, Sunday morning, I was due to preach in a local church. Right before my message, the choir was singing, leading this congregation in vivacious worship. And one of the young ladies in that chorale said she would like to share a word of testimony of how the previous week the Lord had been her shepherd She stood in front of the congregation and began recounting the fact that the previous week she was crossing a road full of traffic. She passed in front of a car and suddenly a motorcycle came, and she came so close to being hit, and she just sensed God's pervading presence all over her life. I couldn't believe my ears. Remember, this is a city of 7 million people. And this girl is telling this story in a church probably of no more than 80 members. As I got up to preach, I had to verify if this could possibly be the same person. I wanted the congregation to know that her story was real, that I was an eyewitness of what had taken place. And indeed, she said that it had taken place the day before, and I told her I was in the very car in front of which she was passing. Yes, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd. Through whatever difficulty, whatever calamity, whatever suffering, whatever loss, whatever pain, whatever grief in your life, whatever valley, even the valley of death, the Lord is your shepherd. And if that girl had been killed, the Lord nevertheless would have been her shepherd. I'm reminded of a story that Elizabeth Elliot, the wife of Jim Elliot, killed by the Aka Indians in Ecuador, tells of a young little girl who was sick, and she had memorized Psalm 23, verse 1, by using the fingers on her hand like this. She would say, "The Lord is my," and when she came to her thumb, she would grasp it, "shepherd." And every day she would recite that one verse. Unfortunately, one morning as her parents awoke and came into her room, this girl had walked through the valley of death. But she was lying in her bed and she was holding her hand like this. She had through the night recited that verse, "The Lord is my shepherd," and the very personal shepherd who accompanied her through death will also accompany you through whatever manifestation of evil, calamity, suffering, and death comes into your life. He is an ever-present shepherd. He's a very personal shepherd. He is also a fully sufficient shepherd. Now, that statement that the psalmist makes, "I have all I need," well, that's encouraging, but it is also just as disturbing. Certainly, the psalmist David experienced situations of lack, did he not? Situations of need. After all, David was chased by Saul. David experienced hunger, suffering, and acute thirst. He was estranged from his son, Absalom. How can David exclaim by faith, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need"? I believe the answer is found in this statement that I've been reflecting a lot on lately. You and I can have all we want and yet lack everything we need. Let me state that again. You and I can have all we want and yet lack everything we need. To demonstrate this, before I conclude, turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Here the Good Shepherd is speaking to the church of Laodicea. I would like you to notice what he says beginning in verse 17. He says, "You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." So here was a group of believers, and they were saying, "We have all we need." They were saying what the psalmist says in Psalm 23 and verse 1, "I have all I need." The problem was is that they only had what they thought they needed. They didn't have what they really needed. You see, the abundance of what we think we need can blind us to our lack of what we really need. Jesus brings this out also to the rich young ruler, does he not? In speaking to this rich young ruler who said he had kept all the commands, Jesus says, "One thing you lack. Go, sell all that you have. Come and follow me." Well, in stating, "I have all I need," the psalmist is not saying, "I have everything I want," nor is he saying, "I have everything that I think I need." By saying, "I have everything I need," the psalmist is saying, "I have all that I really need. I have my creator shepherd. I have my sustainer shepherd. I have my savior shepherd who is ever present. My savior shepherd who is very personal. My savior shepherd who is all sufficient and can provide my every need." And when we understand Jesus Christ as that kind of shepherd in our lives, that brings great contentment to our hearts. Contentment in times of calamity, contentment in times of crisis, contentment in times of suffering and difficulty. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. Today, is that your testimony? You might say, the Lord is my Savior. You might say, God is my Lord. Can you say today with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd? Even as you pass through this dark valley, the valley of a worldwide pandemic, even as you are faced with suffering that is unique to your life, the difficulties that are along your pathway, can you say, the Lord is my shepherd? Are you willing to trust him in the perplexities, the sorrows, the suffering of this earthly pilgrimage? He is ever present. He is very personal, and he is all sufficient for your every need. Father, we thank you that you are our creator shepherd. You are our sustainer shepherd. You are our savior shepherd, one who is ever present, so very personal and all sufficient. Thank you, God, that today we can by faith declare, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. And may that be experienced more and more in our earthly pilgrimage with you. We ask it by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.